morning.
Greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord. It is exciting to be here with you all again. It's been a while, and I always appreciate every time being with you all, worshiping together, and I trust that God will feed us together today as the gentle, tender, good shepherd that he is, reaching to our hearts and meeting each one of our needs right where we're at. God and his word have the ability to do that, and that is a special blessing. We might be going through different things in our life, facing different challenges, and yet God and his word can speak something to you. And it might not be the same thing, it might not be the same verse, but he can speak to me too and bless us and build us all up. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we come to you this morning in the precious name of Jesus, your Son. Father, I thank you that you are here with us, and I pray that your presence would be made known to us today. I pray that you would fill us in a powerful way with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that any evil spirit, any scheme of the devil would be thwarted. I pray that your word would reach deep into our hearts, that the soil of our hearts would be soft, and that your touch would bear fruit, Father. Lord, I pray that you would give me strength as just a weak vessel, Lord. I need your Holy Spirit. I just pray that you would flow through me and that your words would be spoken to your people today and that they wouldn't be my own. Thank you, Father. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. My title is The Shepherd and His Sheep. Subtitle would be Possessed by the Good Shepherd. And we often think of the word possessed as being something bad, but Jesus wants to possess each one of us as his vessels and as his sheep, and to guide us through our life, to fill us with his Spirit and to use us for his purposes. Just a bit of an introduction to this chapter. Things at this point are really, really tense. There have been some really tough moments with the Jews that Jesus has had. Jesus has been called a Samaritan. He's been accused of having a devil. The people attempt to stone him in chapter 8. Chapter 9, he heals a blind man on the Sabbath day. They call him a sinner. Anyone who confesses that he is the Messiah is being kicked out of the synagogue and not allowed to worship. The blind man that Jesus healed in chapter 9, he stands up and he makes a profession for the Lord, and he's kicked out. In chapter 10, we'll see Jesus is once again accused of being possessed with a devil, and once again they try to stone him. The hearts of God's people were very hard. There were some that had their hearts turned toward him, but many of them had their hearts hardened. So they make another stoning attempt, and it was not yet Jesus' time. And so he escaped from that. And in the midst of all this, Jesus begins to talk about sheep. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. In sheep farming at this time, in this culture, the flocks were brought to the sheepfold at night and committed to the care of the keeper or the porter of the sheepfold while the shepherds would go home. In the morning, the shepherds knocked at the barred door of the enclosure and the porter opened from within. Each shepherd separated his own sheep by calling their names, and when thus summoned, the flock would follow his shepherd wherever he may lead. Jesus is using this example that they can relate to try to teach them something. Verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Today we live in a world that's filled with quicksand, minefields, places that are very, very dangerous and that threaten to take our eyes off of our Savior. But if we follow our shepherd, he is very faithful to lead us safely, gently, and faithfully, and he will all the way to the end, no matter what we face. I was studying this, and there's a lot of good things here. It's kind of a lot to cover in one message, and I feel like I'm not doing it justice, but just what the good shepherd is to us. But as I was studying, I felt like there was something that I was missing, something that wasn't quite clicking. And so I was praying about it, and then it came to me. What Jesus is saying here has a whole lot to do with chapters 8 and chapter 9. Because in chapter 8, the Pharisees bring the woman caught in adultery to Jesus. And the light of Christ that exposes sin, I believe, illuminated the consciences of those men. And we don't know what Jesus was writing in the sand. Maybe someday we will. But that woman went away that day, pardoned, forgiven, not condemned by the master. She was a sheep that the Lord Jesus took care of right where she was at. In chapter 9, Jesus was walking along and he met a blind man. This man was born a little baby, blind. And I'm sure his parents probably tried. They probably took him to the doctors to see if he could be healed, but this man was blind all his life. And the disciples saw this blind man, and so they asked Jesus, did this man sin or did his parents sin that he was born blind? And Jesus said, it wasn't his parents that sinned, it wasn't him that sinned, but he was born blind so that the works of God could be made manifest, could be brought to light, be made visible in this man. Then he went, spit on the ground, made some mud, put it on this man's eyes, and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He went and washed, and he came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him sitting down, begging, I'm sure, said, isn't this the blind man? Some said, yeah, it's him. Some said, it looks like him. And he said, it's me. I was blind. So then they took him to the Pharisees because he was healed on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees asked him, how were you healed? And he told them, a man called Jesus put clay on my eyes, told me to go wash. I washed, and now I can see. They didn't believe him, so they called his parents. His parents were scared because they don't want to say anything for Jesus, because if they do, they're going to be cast out of the synagogue. So they say, yeah, this is our son. Yes, he was born blind. As far as how he was healed, well, we don't know. He's of age. Ask him. So they ask him again. And he says, I told you. I'm sure this guy was getting tired of it. But the hearts of the Pharisees were very hard. And this man was able to say some things that day for Jesus. And because of it, he was kicked out. These Pharisees were the leaders of God's people. They were unfaithful shepherds. And Jesus starts talking in chapter 10 about the good shepherd, saying who he is and how he takes care of his sheep and how he loves his sheep. You know, not all sheep look real pretty and nice. A sheep that's not been cared for, it grows all kinds of wool and its hooves get all nasty. And you know, if sheep fall down, they'll die. If they're on their back, they get stranded. Sheep are helpless creatures. They need help. And the shepherd doesn't turn, the good shepherd doesn't turn his head away from those. He offers them healing and care and love. There was a sheep that I just looked up, unkept sheep. It's very interesting. You see a lot of pictures of some matted looking nasty things. And there was one that, if I'm not mistaken, it had 40-some kilograms of wool, 80-some pounds of wool. And the thing was so pitiful. And when they sheared that thing, it shrunk in size by a lot. It was a skinny sheep. And it was very hindered because of all it was lugging around. It couldn't eat well anymore. But when he was freed from that, he was a lot happier and healthier. So Jesus was misunderstood by many. There were people that did not understand what he was talking about. But he was no vain babbler. Jesus was making a point. And that point was practical and useful to those people today, and it is to us. Or it was to them then, and it is to us today as well. So I was blessed by that connection and realizing what Jesus was trying to say and realizing how that relates to us today. They asked Jesus who he was and asked him to tell them plainly. Did they really want to know? I think they just wanted fodder for their fuel against him. But in verse 24, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus said who he was. Before that, in verse 7, Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door to salvation. So he is the door. He is also the good shepherd in verse 11. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And our Jesus did that. There are many people that make promises. Politicians and all kinds of people, they make promises that they never keep. But when Jesus said that I give my life for my sheep, he followed through. He did that for us. Verse 14, the good shepherd knows and is known by his sheep. There's an intimate relationship. I don't know about you, but I want to love my Jesus more. But I know that his love for me far outweighs my love for him. And I want to grow deeper in that love. But it's just a wonderful thing to stop and think about just how much he loves me. He shed his blood for each one of us and bought us with that price. He has come so that the sheep can have abundant life through the laying down of his own life in verse 10. Not just making it through life, but abundant life. A life that's overflowing with the grace, the joy, the peace that passes all understanding and comes from Jesus Christ. Verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. These Pharisees, these shepherds, they were so inadequate. They didn't love God's people. They didn't love God. So who are Jesus' sheep? Well, we know that Jesus' sheep are all those who believe on his name. There's a false idea around here in this world that, you know, we're all sheep. You know, some might be black sheep, some might be white sheep, and God loves us all, and somehow we're all going to make it to heaven. That is false. Those who do not yield their lives to God are enemies of God. But Jesus made it clear how we can become his sheep and who his sheep are. We become his sheep by entering the door, which is opened through the good shepherd laying down his life for us. That is the opportunity that we have. His sheep are his because he has purchased them with his own lifeblood. I'm sure you've seen children, little children, playing over toys, and sometimes one of them will grab one and say, mine! And won't give it up to the other one, won't share. Well, maybe this is a bad picture and a bad illustration, but I like to picture Jesus doing that to us in the right way, grabbing us and saying, this is mine. And he's got a right to us. And he's not going to share us with the devil. That's not to say that there won't be temptation and that there's no possibility of us falling into sin, because it is our choice and we can choose to walk away. But he has keeping power, that when we are in him and walking with him, abiding in him, he's going to keep us right there close to his heart, and he's going to protect us from the devil. And it doesn't matter what happens to us. Someday, we could find ourselves right where the Christians in Afghanistan or China are right now. And he will be there for us in that. The Bible says that in the last days, the love of many will wax cold because iniquity will abound. And we see that. There's sin all over. It's so prevalent, so obvious. Everyone's doing it. And the sad thing is, it doesn't shock us like it used to. It doesn't shock us maybe like it should. But God wants there to be a clear distinction between the sheep and those that aren't his sheep. Verses 28 and 29, no man is able to pluck or snatch them out of Jesus or the Father's hand. So it's both the Father and the Son holding us in their hands. And he has sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to live in our hearts. So we have the entire Godhead keeping us. God is a possessive and jealous God. And he will take care of his people. It is important for us as God's children to love like Jesus does. There are sheep that have struggles that we do not understand. There are sheep that are more weak, unkept, maybe sickly, dirty, than most other sheep. But they are still sheep that are very precious to the shepherd. There are also those who look just like sheep, but they're wolves. And the Bible warns us of them too. I know a man who openly declares that he's not a sheep. He says he's a wolf. And his life is a tribute to that. And that is so sad. And any of us, if we realize deep in our hearts that we are not one of his own, we must seek the Lord, seek the good shepherd, while he may be found. Because our lives are so short. We have no promise of tomorrow. It is so much better to live them for the Lord Jesus and to be in his care. You know, we live in a country that claims to be Christian, but American Christianity is just pretty disgusting. Mainstream American Christianity. If it doesn't act like a sheep, sound like a sheep, or have the normal appetites of a sheep, it's probably not a sheep. There are lots that profess Christianity that aren't genuine. If a person doesn't live like a Christian, talk like a Christian, or love the shepherd and his fellow sheep like a Christian, there's a very good chance he's not a Christian. But there is hope for that person too. Sheep don't make it on their own. They can't defend themselves. Without a shepherd and guide, they are helpless, hopeless, and downright stupid. When we lived in Africa, the sheep just run all over there. And when you see a sheep standing by the side of the road, a flock of them, you better hit the brakes, because if one decides to come, they're all coming across. And I remember one time hitting a sheep. Dad was driving, and we whacked that thing hard, and he spun around, and the next vehicle behind us whacked him too. And you know what? Sheep without a shepherd are that way. And the devil wants to do that to us. He wants to beat us down and destroy us and lead us into all kinds of snares and traps that lead ultimately to our death. There are a lot of people that put trust in man and in external forms. We've got a sheep farmer that just lives a couple miles down the road from us there in Georgia. And one of my neighbors, I've never met the man, but one of my neighbors was telling me that he has sheep every year that he loses to coyotes. He has lambs that get eaten by the coyotes. And the funny thing is, this guy runs big Great Pyrenees dogs in with his sheep. I don't know if you've ever seen a Great Pyrenees. They're a big, white, long-haired dog. And they're menacing. They're when we drive by there, they're always barking at us. But you know, it was interesting to me to think that that wasn't enough to save all the lambs. And any trust that we put in things other than the Lord Jesus Christ, they aren't sufficient. They will not save us. It's only the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep that can protect us from the wolves and the roaring lion. God's sheep hear his voice. Sheep know the voice of their shepherd. Intermingled flocks of sheep can be separated simply by the shepherd calling his sheep. God is speaking today. His sheep will hear his voice. And that's a challenge to me. Am I hearing the voice of the Lord? It's not that God doesn't speak today like he did in times of Scripture. God still speaks to his people. But we have to have listening ears. I send a picture to the SBF Inspirations group. If you want to look that up, and show it. I think it's just the ladies. I mean, just the men that have it. So show it to your wives. Anybody who pulls it up on their phone, pass it around. This is not meant to be funny. It's funny. But this is a picture of a sheep on a beach chair, with a television in front of him, a book in his hand, a radio blaring right behind him, headphones on, sunglasses, laptop on his legs, and there's a Bible laying down on the ground by the chair. And far over the hill, there's a shepherd calling. And the sheep is saying, I wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd anymore. That, if we're honest, that can be, without us even trying to, that can be all too true in our lives. And it might not be TV. It might not be the internet. But there's lots of things that creep into our lives and try to distract us from the voice of the Lord. Do we allow ourselves to listen? Do we set aside distractions and give ourselves quiet time to wait on the Lord? You know, Jesus, the Bible says something very interesting. I forget exactly where it is. I think it might be Psalms. It says, be still and know that I am God. There's a connection, a correlation between being still and knowing that God is God. God speaks to us when we quiet our hearts before Him and take time to listen to Him. Our shepherd knows his sheep. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. He knows their struggles and their strong points. He loves them. He cares for them. He leads them by still waters and to green pastures. He cares for the sick and the injured. He gently helps the young and the weak. He lovingly corrects the disobedient and comforts the fearful. He protects them from evil and lays down his life for the life of his own flock. His sheep are precious to him because he gave his life for them. He is not quick to turn the weak and the lame aside or just simply put the sick out of their misery. He loves, he heals, and he offers that to each one of us. The good shepherd doesn't kick his sheep while they're down. If they fail, he doesn't come beating them. He goes searching for the lost. That is something that I am very thankful for. There have been times when I left the shepherd and I turned my back on him. And he comes and he seeks his own. His sheep follow him. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Following everywhere at any cost. Jesus called the disciples, Peter, Andrew, Matthew, the others. He told the rich young ruler, said, follow me. It happened in their everyday lives. They were just going about their work, and Jesus came and said, follow me. Walking with Jesus. Matthew 16:24 says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How do we follow? How do the sheep follow? It's through self-denial. Surrendering to Jesus my will, my dreams, desires, rights, and comforts. Laying them down at the feet of Jesus and giving him everything. Giving him the right and the freedom to alter the course of our lives for his glory. There's people that want to follow Jesus, but they're not willing to give all. I heard a story one time of a young man that responded to call at revival meetings, and he was up front praying with the preacher and just weeping, and all of a sudden he stopped and he said, do I have to give up my truck? And the preacher who was with him realized that this is an idol in this man's life. And he said, yes, you do. And he said, that's too much. That's so sad. But he wasn't willing to fully lay everything down. This extends for it's simple things, simple everyday life things, but it also comes down to our own lives, being willing to die for the Lord Jesus if he calls us to that. We follow by taking our personal cross, an instrument of death, in exchange for the internal, supernal, and eternal life given by Jesus Christ. That is worth it, my friends. Christians, like the blind man, take a stand for Jesus, even when they will be persecuted for it. Those who would take a stand for Jesus with all their heart must confess him before men. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32-33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I think it's something that each one of us deals with, is a fear of man. There's not many people that are just born with a boldness that they will just go out and say anything to anybody. But God wants us to have that boldness for him. I was at a weekend of tent meetings here a couple years ago down Lancaster County area, and they asked me to be one of those who would go and pray with those who respond. And there were some very good, challenging messages preached, convicting messages. And there were lots of people there. And all weekend, there was not one person who responded at the call. And so some people might say maybe the Spirit of God wasn't moving. I feel that he was. God's Spirit does move, especially when his word is preached. But there's a lot of fear. People think, well, what will people think of me if I get up and go forward? It's all part of confessing Christ before men. I'm not saying that that is the only way to be saved or find freedom from your sin. Absolutely not. But we should have that willingness to say, I don't care about my reputation or how it makes me look. I am going to go forward for Jesus Christ. I want that to be the attitude of my heart. I want to be unashamedly a follower of Jesus, one of his sheep. I don't want to blend in and look like the wolves. Will I confess him before men? Christians will be like Christ. This is not a work done in our own efforts, but it is worked by grace through the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we suppress the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we won't be like Christ. If we live after the flesh, if we refuse to deny ourselves, if we let the cross lay abandoned, if we ignore the voice of the shepherd and his Holy Spirit, we will not be Christ-like. There are many temptations that come our way. Temptations to gratify the flesh. Lust, love of pleasure, sensuality, pride, even love of comfort. These things do not build up the Spirit of God in our hearts. And the things of the flesh, the things of the Spirit do not gratify the flesh either. You know, I think it's sad that there are many Muslim people that are young people, they've got their lives ahead of them, and they're willing to go and blow themselves up to kill other people. They're willing to give their life in exchange for a lie, to kill what they see as infidels. So there's all these that are willing to die for a lie, but how many of us believers are willing to put our lives on the line and die for the Lord Jesus Christ? We might have that opportunity. And I say opportunity because there is a blessing in being persecuted for Jesus. It does not appeal to our flesh, and it never will. But what a privilege it is to suffer for the one who suffered for us. There are not many who profess Christ who love not their lives to the death. The Lord's sheep follow anywhere, everywhere. Several months ago, I picked up a little puppy along the road, and I think she's got a lot of lab in her and also some pit bull. And I'm teaching her to be a hunting dog. She's working pretty good. But that dog, if I try to take her on a rope and walk her, she'll be running ahead of me. Or next thing I know, she's distracted by something behind me and I'm almost dragging her along. I was running with her one time. I was riding bike and holding her rope. She figured out that when she stopped, I didn't stop. It got her back on her feet. She kept running. But that's not how the sheep are supposed to be. We're not supposed to be running ahead of the Lord Jesus. We're not supposed to be running behind. But when we walk right in step with him, he doesn't have to yank us back, and we don't get drug along either. It is such a blessing to be one of the Good Shepherd's own. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 34 in closing. God is talking here through Ezekiel to the shepherds of his people. And he is expressing his disappointment and disgust with how they have handled the sheep. And he gives us a little picture of what he is and what he will do for his sheep. Verse 11, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. And I will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which is sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Verse 16 really stood out to me. He will bind up that which is broken. Perhaps you're a sheep with a broken leg. The Lord wants to put a splint on that thing. He wants healing. He will strengthen that which was sick. That's the heart of our shepherd. And I appreciated what Brother Darrell shared. None of us are worthy of the blood and body of Christ, but he offers it freely. He says, follow me, and he gives this to us, his sheep. Do we always walk perfectly? No. But he extends love and mercy and love and mercy time after time after time. He is long-suffering. He's patient. What a blessing it is to be a sheep in the pasture of the Good Shepherd. We can fully trust him to lead us gently and faithfully every single day until he leads us home. God bless you.